All right. Well, I assume he's sneaking in. We might have to start without him. He's usually here by this time.
Yeah.
If you're there he is. I knew if I stalled long enough he'd show up.
This is Yvonne Ventresca, author of Pandemic. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something and yet nothing to me. I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers like me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we have the pleasure of visiting with Dane G. Kroll, and he is the author of several new books for the past year. The book that you will remember us doing here this last, probably about a month or so ago, was Black Friday. So we'll be visiting about that, plus his other books that he's coming up. So, Dane, thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
You're kind of new to the publishing world, it looks like. It looks like everything started around 2014, 2015?
Yeah, pretty much about that. I think some of my older books, like 2012, I think, was Lariat Rhodes. That was a science fiction book.
Okay.
And then it was kind of e-books right there. And like, 2014, 2015, I started moving to paperback.
And what was the transition like going from e-books to physical? Was that kind of an unusual transition, or was it pretty easy since you'd been with the e-books?
It was a little unusual. There was like kind of a learning curve trying to figure out the different formats and choosing the fonts and pretty much all the page counts and whatnot. Ebook was also kind of a learning curve too. I had to learn HTML for a little bit.
I know enough about computers to get me in trouble, and that's about it. I have our IT support, and it's not me.
I dropped out of that class in college, so I was like, oh, man, what am I doing? I should not have done that.
Well, I'm most familiar with Black Friday, so we'll start off with that, and we'll dive into some of your other books as well. But Black Friday, at this point, looks like it's going to be a standalone novel. It could expand into a series. You can elaborate on that, but what made you think of this holiday needs a horror book or type movie for the Thanksgiving holidays?
It was a combination of things. I always wanted to do a slasher story itself. I loved Halloween and Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, whatnot. So I was kind of looking around like, well, what holiday hasn't been done yet? And then Black Friday popped up. You have deaths almost yearly at this point with people mobbing the door. People mobbing the doors. And it's like, we're dying and nobody really cares. And so that kind of, I connected those ideas together. Like, oh, we could just do a slasher in there as well.
Yep. Yeah. It's almost surprising that you're the first one I know of that actually did this Black Friday horror story.
Yeah, like I kind of did like a Google search. Usually when I come up with an idea, I kind of Google search it and see if it's out there already. And I hadn't seen that one. I'm like, yes, perfect.
Well, it was very reminiscent to the 80s style of, like you said, the Halloween.
Right, Halloween.
My Bloody
Michael
Valentine.
Myers. And
yeah.
So I assume those were probably influences, like you said. And it was a fast-paced book. Was that just your writing style, or was that an intentional point on your behalf of making it fast?
That's mostly my writing style. Most of everything I do is kind of fast paced and keeping the story going and flowing.
Cool, because I'd rather read those type of books.
That's the kind of things I like.
Yes. So are you looking at this possibly in the future, trying to develop this a little bit more, maybe just a duology or a trilogy or just have fun with occasionally?
Yeah, I might like have fun with it occasionally. Like, pretty much every book I do, I kind of keep it open-ended enough to where I can do a sequel if I want.
Right.
With right now with my horror books, I don't have anything planned yet, but I do have some ideas bubbling about a Black Friday 2, possibly yes. Black Friday 2 for a Saturday. Yeah. It's Business Saturday, and then he goes on to like Cyber Monday. Taco Tuesday.
Taco
Tuesday. Wow. Hey, there's a hidden market there that you can tap into. You never know.
There might be a sequel someday. Who knows, though?
Okay. With this, you're pretty much like us. You're centered pretty much in the center of the country. If I recall right, you're basically in the Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri area. So
yeah, I'm in America, so kind of that little dead heart of the country.
Okay. So with that being your background, being what they consider the Bible Belt, what led you to say, "Oh, let's write this slasher flick and kill some people"? So just your imagination running wild, or?
Yeah, like horror is near and dear to my heart, so I always want to stick with horror. Okay. And being in the Bible Belt, or just, actually, Topeka, you got the Westboro people over here. I mean, that's one of the ideas for Psalm Springs, my other horror book, where it's biblical slasher, Wrath of God's taking out campers there.
Right, I noticed that, and it was involved in a summer church camp.
Yeah, but it's basically like a summer church camp where it's the more extreme kind. People are getting kidnapped there to be converted. But like, if they don't convert, they die. So that's kind of inspired from the Westboro people, where it's, you know, you see the signs out there. Oh, gays are responsible for everything. Like, no, they're not. But everyone's going to hellfire and brimstone over here.
Well, Kansas is kind of diverse. We got the Bible people, and then we go down to Wichita, and you got the serial killer down there. I can't remember him off the top of my head.
BTK.
BTK, thank you, John.
Yeah, BTK.
So, you know, Kansas is all over the place. What can we say?
Yes. We get them all.
Yeah. Bind, torture, and kill.
Well, one of the things that really interested us, and Logan and I might have to go back and at least get this set and possibly do some reading for the podcast as well, is your kaiju series.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm going to pronounce this right. Is it Goryu?
Yeah, Realm of Goryeo,
Goryeo. Okay. So this is one I assume you must have been raised up with, the Godzilla movies and the King Kongs.
You have no idea.
Now,
I think I watched Godzilla Revenge a dozen times, if not more.
And when you grew up, see how old you are. I know I'm old, but see how old you are. Do you remember a very tiny show called Ultraman?
I do. I never watched much of it until recently. Okay. I do remember it.
That was kind of the TV version of the, I guess, almost the Power Rangers.
I've heard of the Ultraman, actually.
Yeah. Well, I was just at Godzilla Fest earlier in the year, and there was so much more Ultraman than I ever thought existed. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've actually heard of Ultraman. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's on the same level as Godzilla, but it was a TV series instead of movies, so it was kind of fun. And did you catch, I figure you just saw these on TV when you were growing up and just fell in love with them?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I had like a couple of the Godzilla VHSs on tape, and then just kind of watched them over and over and over again. And I fell in love with it pretty much. I think I still have one of my Godzilla toys floating around.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have any of them around your apartment as well?
If you ever watch Roseanne, she has that one in the background of the living room. Right. Like, I have that same thing floating around.
Because I know, Mark Hamill has a new video podcast type deal, and he had a collector of the kaiju's toys and stuff. So some of those are worth some change, just like any of the old toys, I guess. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they can be. Oh, my God.
It's like, why did we let our parents trash them all? So what was your...
Because you used them enough that they wouldn't be worth anything even now.
You didn't think at that time that they'd be worth anything. That's true.
But no, you'd used them enough that they wouldn't be worth anything now.
Yeah. Kids back then were pretty rough on the toys, I guess. Some weren't. With the new movies, though, with the kaijus, are you excited about those and how they're trying to possibly tie them together?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm still on the fence sometimes. Like the new Shin Godzilla that came out, I absolutely loved, and the new King Kong one, I'm pretty excited for. John C. Reilly has me a little on the fence, though. I'm not a huge fan of that character from the trailer I saw. So, you know, I'm still holding judgment out. I think it'll be pretty cool.
Well, if I remember the Shinju, that's the actual one where the Japanese produced again.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the new Japanese one that they made.
But I remember, it seems like, and I could be completely wrong, but it looks like in the Skull Island previews when they talk about the big creatures and that we're not the first, that's kind of harkening back to the last Americanized Godzilla movie that we had.
Oh, yeah, the 2014 one?
Right, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah, because that King Kong will be connecting to the 2014 Godzilla. Okay.
That's what I was wondering, but I wasn't positive, so.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be doing a crossover battle at some point.
Okay. So with the Gyuro, is this pretty much going to just be a quadrilogy, or are you looking at doing some other stuff with it?
Realm of Goryeo is going to be an ongoing series. Okay. I don't know how many books are going to be in it, because the whole storyline is really grand and really long. So it's just going to keep going as long as I'm alive, pretty much. Kind of like a comic book series.
At least 50, probably.
At least 50, yeah.
So I've actually been wanting to read the Goryeo? Okay, the Realm of Goryeo. Where can we actually find that book? Do you have a website that we can go to? Is that on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You can basically either Google it on Amazon, or you can just head to my website, danegkroll.com, and that has lists of all my books and links to all the Amazon pages. So that's probably like the most direct way you can get there.
Okay. And like they're fairly decently priced, but I know, because when I got the book over at Smallville, it was pretty decently priced. So
yeah, like they're $10 to $15 online as well.
Yeah.
When you're writing your books, are you... Because it seems like, did you have some of these already pre-written and then you just shot them out there so you could have product available? Because it looks like...
Goryeo.
Excuse me. Because it seems like almost all of them, except the last one, were 2015, and then the last one was 16.
So, Goryeo is actually a pretty fast write for me. I can write those pretty fast, which is why that all happened. Like, I think the prelude, which is like a 30-page little short story for the Realm of Goryeo, I did have pre-written as a comic book, and I just transferred it over into novel prose form.
Okay.
And then the next three books were just kind of back to back to back. I wrote them. Mm-hmm. And like I said, because I kind of outline and really freeform those stories, where I just kind of follow a basic guideline of what I want the characters to do eventually, they're pretty easy to write.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if you were just wanted to have that nugget in your pocket when you pulled them all out and you weren't caught without a story to tell after you got the first one out there. So,
a little bit. It's like, oh, I gotta get the next couple of books out, because like I definitely wanted to get this kind of season one, books 1 through 3, done
right
pretty fast.
Go ahead, Logan. Sorry,
are you actually selling the comic version of the prelude as well?
No. That was like, it just exists in the comic book script form at this point. Never could find an artist at the time to draw it out for me.
So when you develop your characters, how do you actually develop your characters? Like in Black Friday, the serial killer, did you actually just come up with him in your mind, or did you develop him off somebody that you actually know?
Hopefully it's nobody you knew.
Yeah.
Or
newspapers clippings.
Yeah, the killer, Jacob Adams, he was just in my mind. I think the little boy, I believe, was an exaggeration of me.
Okay.
So I remember, like, my parents always telling me the story when I was a little kid. I was like, I want a new toy. And then my older brother was kind of miffed at me when I got a new toy for doing that. I always just remember it and reminded of it every now and then too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of bringing that scene back, like, let's just push a little bit farther now and what happened in the first chapter to the little boy. Hopefully my brother will never do that, though. He's a good guy.
The family get together. Be the last one.
Hey, just don't go to the mall with him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Did you use
to... we've gone Black Friday shopping before. We almost got into a fight then, but we were on the same side.
Oh, okay, good.
So did you used to work at a I won't say any names. Logan will.
I never worked there, no.
Walmart is the generic supermarket. Though.
You work for where?
There's also...
I have worked in retail, like Dillon's and other kind of grocery stores and whatnot.
Well, Dillon's isn't really like a Black Friday retail store.
Yeah, they don't do a Black Friday itself. Yeah,
they do.
They just have murder on Thanksgiving when people are going in there trying to get that turkey and sold out. And you're like, you're kidding me. Where's the hams? They're gone too. There you go. It's the there's your next one at a supermarket. Turkeys are gone. You also have a series. Looks like you have one, but you have a couple more books planned out, and that is the Ilium Falls books. It looks like you're planning on quite a few of those, and it looks like you have two out so far, and they're more of your traditional fantasy type elements. And then you have, like we said, we mentioned Palm Springs, and then you have a couple others, Greg and Lucy's Whole World, and they're at Rhodes. And
we have a children's book right there.
Okay. That's what I was going to wonder. What do you like best? Is it funner for you to write more of the teen to young adult books, or is it the children's books?
Ooh. Like, as of right now, I'd say the more teen, young adult books. Like, I had to get into a different mindset when I wrote Greg and Lucy, because that was such a weird one. I was reading a lot of Roald Dahl at that time, and that's what I was trying to emulate there. But it was a lot of fun writing Greg and Lucy's Whole World, though. I kind of want to get back into it and make a sequel for that one at some point, too.
Okay. So you're more comfortable staying with the teens and everything, with the pop culture, and it seems like you got a grasp on that real well, though.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, especially, like, Realm of Goryeo is kind of the one I'm most excited, like, to get into the next book. Like, all these ideas always pop up. I'm like, yes, this is going to be awesome when it happens. Like, I don't have to finish this book first. I have to finish writing this first before I can get to it.
I was going to say, do you keep a little tape recorder so you can put your ideas into it, or a notepad? So if you
there's usually always a notepad around me. Yeah, I'll be working on something or working somewhere, and I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll grab it out, write it down, do a little jump from excitement. People look at me weird.
The writing bug, were you interested in this as you were developing as a young adult as yourself, or was this a new interest that you just decided, you know, I have these ideas, let's just jump and see what'll happen?
Writing's always been my interest. I think kindergarten, first grade, I was doing little stories and whatnot and drawing little comic books. So it always stuck with me.
Okay. And with the style being so fast, I'm assuming that's probably the way most of your novels are. Black Friday, we mentioned it in the podcast, and I want you to comment, because we don't have any of your other novels at the moment.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the next ones we want to try to get are those
Goryeos.
But are they mainly, I think the Black Friday was about 150 pages?
It was maybe shorter than that, about 130, 140.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Black is probably one of the shorter ones I have.
Okay, because I made the comment that in this day and age, when if you have people just wanting a really quick bite, they're not really wanting to, you know, there are still your traditionalists that want that
long drawn story, yeah.
But there are a lot more and more people are interested in a quick read because they're so busy. Was that a game plan of yours that you saw, or was that just something that naturally fit and trying to market in that niche market now?
So I think it was kind of a combination of both, because I think my writing style is just kind of that more fast-paced, trying to think of a better guy's word for it, simplicity. I don't know if that's right or not. And so that's how it just kind of grew and stuck. And then I kind of fell into this idea when I was going to cons that people do like these fast reads. There are a lot of people that don't have time to really read too much, or they have a whole stack of books up. I know I have a whole stack of books up over here on my coffee table. And so I do like the idea of getting something fast, like, oh, just, you know, nice, short and sweet, or just exciting and sweet you can, and then just kind of keep going from there.
The one thing that I was curious about that I brought up in the podcast, in our podcast, was Black Friday has two different covers on it. It has the blue one with the red
deer notes. Head, white,
yeah. And then it has a cool, creepy looking one. Where can we get our hands on that one with the cool, creepy looking cover.
That is officially the new cover for Black Friday. So if you order on Amazon, that's the cover you're going to get.
Okay.
The blue cover has been retired.
Okay. Because the other one was kind of more exciting than the blue one. No offense.
I think I remember liking blue one better, but ah, well.
Yeah, it depends on your style. I showed Jonathan that on Amazon. I said, Jonathan, look at what I found. He was, oh, that's so cool.
I had to tell my friend that when I heard the podcast, you said you liked the new cover, because it was my friend Michelangelo Rocha who did that cover, and I was like, hey, more people like your cover, more people like it. You know, I need more stuff. he does great things. He always has this horror element to him. So when I needed a new cover, I was like, hey, you want to draw me a cover? He's like, yeah, sure.
It's good to have friends like that.
Oh yes, it is so good to have friends like that. But my covers would be all over the place.
You've kind of mentioned you've been going to some of the cons. Are you just staying locally, or are you branching out and going to different states and trying to go a little further out of the region as well?
Yeah, I've been in multiple states. Usually I have like a 8 to 10 hour drive radius if I can. So I've been to like Denver and Austin, Texas. I went to Cheyenne.
Wow.
Chicago. Yeah. Iowa.
Okay. And do you try to stick with the comic book themed ones, or do you also get into the anime conventions as well?
Usually just the comic book themed ones.
Okay.
And like maybe some book fairs. But like nothing too like anime yet.
Okay.
I don't know how well my stuff will fit in there. Because I know I have the giant monsters.
Right. The kaijus is what I was really keying on with those. Yeah. They'd probably go over pretty well. And even the Black Friday, you might be surprised. And that one might go over really well. Especially with that new cover as well. But the there are some specific conventions. I know they're kind of harder to find in Kansas, so you might have to go outside of the realms, but like they do have the horror conventions now.
Yeah.
And they even, I don't know if they have any kaiju conventions or not.
I've never seen any, but you know, just I can always do some research. And
not there, it just means you haven't seen
well them. Like I said, I could always do some research and send it your way, Dane.
I know there's one kaiju Godzilla Fest in Chicago. G-Fest is out there in July.
Okay. So
I went there this year. That was a lot of fun.
So when you meet the fans, are they pretty excited when they're actually seeing, oh, this is, you know, especially like the kaijus. I mean, kaijus are kind of like with the comic book and the anime fans and sci-fi fans. I mean, when they have a love, they have a love.
Oh, yeah. Like people usually are excited when they see my stuff, especially Black Friday. Black Friday always gets everybody. It's like, ooh, yeah. That's always kind of fun to see. No one wants to go on Black Friday. They always want to hear the horrors about it, though.
Well, you know, it's around. Let's see. There's you got Halloween and
Halloween, Chucky.
Well, I'm talking about holidays. You got the Halloween. That's all the movies are coming out, and that rolls kind of into the November month as well. So it's just a good time for horror for some reason.
Right?
I don't know why?
So. And then they came out with Krampus.
Oh, Krampus. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
I loved Krampus.
I haven't seen it yet, actually.
Nope, I haven't got a copy of that for the library. Sorry, Jonathan. When you work in a library, you got to work with the library's budget, too. But these are ones, like I said, Jonathan found these, and we're going to be picking up at least by looking at these Black Friday and at least the guy.
Goryeo.
Thank you, Logan.
Goryeo.
I cannot pronounce that for some reason tonight.
Realms of Goryeo.
So we'll definitely be picking up these two, and the Ebium might have to look at those a little bit more as well. So, but this is one thing that we've been looking at is just having the novels with the kaiju theme instead of the movies or the comics. It's kind of unique to have some novels to go with it. So that's kind of nice to see out there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like especially the Realm of Goryeo is kind of it's the series I always wanted to see happen, basically. Usually the Godzilla comics, they were coming out. It was always, especially recently, just kind of monsters versus, you know, man, where they just get a robot or whatnot. But
yeah.
I want it more than that. The Godzilla movies always had aliens. They had amphibian people. They had magic and time travel. The series got so crazy, and I wanted all that to be in a one giant universe. So that's why I ended up writing Realm of Goryeo, because I needed it all together.
Right. And being what's starting to come out into the theaters again, I don't know if there's a possibility of this, but with your local theater, especially this one, looks like it, you know, the choline Looks like it has the ape on there, and so does Four Pillars. You know, when the movies come out, have you even approached any of the movie theaters to see if they might do a... Because I know Hastings is gone now. Barnes & Noble. You might have a Barnes & Noble still in Topeka. You're big enough. But are they...
Yeah, there's one still floating around.
Do they try to do tie-ins where you can try to get in there and promote your items that way as well, that people can see you?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that this year. Kind of doing more of the tie-ins of Barnes & Noble, possibly the movie theater, especially with like Pacific Rim 2 coming out and right. the King Kong. So those would be definitely ways to hit some little... eyes. There we go. There get some go. Eyes on the thing.
I was just curious because, you know, when people find out that they're here, they, you know, they really like to see the authors and stuff. If the authors are interested, because I know some are not, they're a little bit more introverted.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're a little bit more outgoing and enjoy meeting with the people. So that sounds like you have a fun time with
I try. Nice. I'm more of an introvert, but I have to put myself out there.
Well, you don't sound like it tonight. It sounds like you're willing to have fun and just roll with everything. So
usually once the camera's rolling, I'm good to go. But before that, I'm just kind of sitting there shy.
With the upcoming schedules, if you can tell us anything, what are some of your upcoming books that you might have forthcoming? We kind of already mentioned, you said you might be looking at a Black Friday sequel, but what others are you looking at possibly trying to get out for 2017?
2017 will be Eluin Falls Book 3 and a zombie book I have in the works. Those are definitely I'm getting done 2017. I'm making that goal for those 2017.
And for people, we've kind of been talking about people wanting to keep in touch with you. Are you acceptable? Do you have a... I know you have a Facebook page. Would you mind mentioning that so people can go and like that? Because I don't think you really want your personal page out there.
Yeah, no.
So what would they look
at?
Go ahead.
My Facebook page is facebook.com/DaneGKroll.
And they can follow you on Twitter as well, I'm assuming, or you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as well, @DaneGKroll. Yeah, like on my website, like my homepage has links to my Facebook and my Twitter account.
Yeah.
So they can find it all easily there.
Okay. And that was your name again, DaneGKroll.com.
Yeah. And then if they have his business card, it's all on his business card, yeah. too.
Okay.
And it's all on like the last page of the books. And
yeah, it is.
For the upcoming year, where are some of the conventions that readers of your books can be able to actually see you at and visit with you?
That I actually have not fully decided yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're been still a little year, and I haven't really figured it out. Yeah, I know.
You're still in holiday mode.
I'm still in holiday mode a little bit. I got to decide what I want to do this year for my cons.
Okay.
So I probably won't go as heavy as I did this year. I actually got to concentrate on writing those books. I slipped.
What, the conventions don't give you much time to write? A little too noisy?
A little bit, yeah. They a little too crazy. They exhaust me. I go home and I just lay down. Like, I can't think right now. I can't type.
Just because you get in at 1 o'clock and come home with, the con crud that everybody seems to go home with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Go home and then go to work for part-time jobs. And it's like, all right, what's next? I don't know. Other projects I have. I couldn't write as much as I did this year, so I was like, I have to tone down my cons. Like, I think I'll probably end up doing like Little Apple Con in Manhattan and possibly G-Fest in Chicago. Okay. Maybe O Comic Con in Omaha. So a couple of different places.
Cool. Go ahead.
Actually, I'll ask him when we get off.
Oh, uh-oh. What could that be? Basically, with some of the new movies coming out or some of the things that you just see around, are you going to dip your toes into any other type of genres, or are you going to try to keep it just centered around the books that you have right now for the moment?
Well, to be fair, he has plenty of genres at the moment anyway.
Yeah, you have quite a few genres right now at the moment.
Yeah, for the moment, it's going to be kind of finishing up the Eluin Falls series if I can. And then, like I said, that the zombie horror one in the works. And at that point, it'll be my tentative schedule is the Eluin Falls book 3, zombie book, Eluin Falls book 4, then the next Goryeo, then book 5, Alien Falls, and the next Goryeo, and then from there I'll maybe decide to do something else.
Okay. Huh. So it looks like your heart's kind of into the kaiju and the fantasy.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I made the mistake of starting two series at one time, and I would like to get them finished. Or just yeah. Get them finished.
But you said Goryeo. God bless. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that one's ongoing. So.
When it's an ongoing, you can't really stop, I guess.
I know. Like I definitely just want to get Alien Falls done. That one's 5 books. I'm cutting it off there. I know it's going to stop there.
Don't be afraid to stretch it into a 6th if you feel like you need more space to fit whatever you need to fit in there. Because a rushed ending is very much worse than a drawn out one.
Yeah.
A rushed ending. Yeah, that.
Yeah, we've had some experiences with the rushed endings. Like when the mangas, they kind of close out and they try to cram everything in one volume.
Yeah, I remember a manga very great for the first, I think it was
20 some books.
This is something like 5 volume series. The first 4, great. If it had gone on for another 4 or 4 dozen, I have no clue how much books would have been fine. But it then all of a sudden ended in that last volume, the 5th one, and the quality went from very, very high to complete and utter.
Went to the crapola, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Won't be like that.
So drawn out is better than rushed.
I feel like 5 is drawn out of this series at this point. I was at the point where I could just end it now in book 3. I could. It would be so rushed, but I could do it. I could just kill everybody right now.
There you go.
I'm gonna do that.
That's the quick and easy way. Kill them all.
Yeah. I'm gonna commit to that 5 that I already had planned.
Well, with the movies coming out, are you excited? We kind of mentioned the Kong. You mentioned Pacific Rim. So are these the ones that you're excited about and eager to see, or are you kind of trepidatious about them?
Big word.
A little trepidatious. Pacific Rim, I liked it, but again, it's the simplicity of the monsters themselves just being like clones of aliens or something like that. It was, I don't know, I guess a little disappointing. I'm used to the Godzilla and Rodan, you know, that Rodan sacrifices himself to save Godzilla so he can defeat Mecha Godzilla and stuff like that, where, you know, they're their own characters themselves.
You probably would have had fun about 3 years ago at one of the anime conventions we went to at Wichita called AFW. They had a gentleman there that brought all his kaiju collectibles to show. And it was pretty nice. He had some really nice old ones, and he even had some of the movie premiums that came out with the movies premiered in Japan and stuff. So he had spent a little bit of money. He's older than I am, so even us old guys play with our toys and have fun with our comics and books like this. So don't be scared about having fun when you're still these.
I'm getting my nephew into it, so like he comes over and like he plays with my old Godzilla toys that I found out in storage. I'm like, yes.
Convert. We got another convert here.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like you're having fun with everything, so that's the main point, is because if writing was a chore, you definitely would not be as chipper and fun as what you've been this evening. So that's a good sign. Very good sign to hear.
Yeah, like I get into a bad mood when I don't write, so at this point I need to keep writing.
There you go. And you keep us readers happy when we get started in something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's good.
Don't know what it is, but readers like the series for some reason, and we're just as bad here in this room. We like our series. I think that's going to probably be about do it for us, Dane. You've kind of mentioned everything that's coming out. You've hit on the writing style. One of the things, your schedule, you said you're going to plan on 4 books this next year. So that's going to be a pretty tough, right? I think it was 4 books. So
I think it's just 2 books this next 2 books this 2 next books? Year.
Okay. I thought you said. I thought you meant.
I've got 4 books down line, but it's going to be a couple of years for all the 4 of those books, probably.
Okay. We've been visiting with Dane here, Dane G. Kroll, and he, like I said, he go to his website and he'll have his links to his books. You can purchase them off Amazon. You can also have his ebooks there. So if you're a digital reader, he has that for you as well. We here are still kind of toying with digital, but we still kind of like the print edition. So if you're a print edition lover, you can also get your printed editions as well. Can they get a hold of you through your Facebook page, Dane, and try to possibly get in touch with you and maybe send you a copy for to get signatures, or how if they can't get to a con to see you?
You know, yeah, I would welcome them if they wanted to send me a copy. I can send it back to them signed.
Okay.
And but yeah, through Facebook, they can direct message me on my Facebook author site, and I'm more than happy to talk to them.
Okay. So if you go to Facebook and get on Dane's Facebook page, probably in the process, you know, be expected if you're going to send the book to him or books, be kind. Put in enough for return postage or send enough stamps or whatever you need to do, because, you know, that's just common courtesy. So please remember to do that for Dane as well, because that just makes it easier for him, so he doesn't have to take time out from his busy schedule and trying to fill out a request from a fan. So it's always appreciated when a fan takes that next step and be courteous, and I'm sure Dane will probably agree with that.
It was always nice. I always just love hearing from fans themselves.
Get on there, send them some of your fan art, stuff like that. I'm not a drawer, but hey, it's kind of fun sometimes when you can see some of the fans, what they'll take into, what they bring into you, their own mind, and see what they see. So,
but yeah,
just don't get too far out there or too deep into the underground area. We don't need no, I won't even go there. I'll stop right there. But Dane, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. We've had fun. I hope you've had fun visiting with us tonight. We try to have some fun with our guests. So thank you for coming on this evening.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
And again, remember, all of Dane's books are the Goryeo series, the Ilium series. He's got Black Friday, Palm Springs. One of his children's books is Greg and Lucy's Whole World. You can go to Amazon, look up his name, or go to his website, DaneGKroll.com. Be sure to check those out for him, and he'd be glad to have your support. He's one of the better, faster writers that I've had the pleasure of reading, and I really appreciate that. When you have a busy schedule, I'm sure everybody out there will appreciate it as well if you're looking for a fast read. And it's not just the end of the story. He does have some other stuff coming forward. So look him up. I'm sure you'll enjoy his books. And again, we have Jonathan jumping in. But again, Dane, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Everybody out there, we've been having fun visiting with Dane. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just want to set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just wanna see your smile. No matter where you go, you know you're not alone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.